God's precious word. Let's raise it above our heads, if you don't mind, and let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for this day and each and every day. And Father, we pray this morning and thank You for the things which are both seen and the things which are not seen. Father, I thank You for this sermon series as we begin this ministry here at Greenwood Baptist Church with this series because, Father, I feel it is exactly what each and every one of us need to hear. Lord, I thank You for placing it upon my heart, and I pray this morning, Lord, that You remove everything that is me so that You do all of the message and don't let me get in the way. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Take your Bibles and open them up. We're going to be in the book of, well, we'll be in a couple places today, but the book of Luke is where we're going to be this morning. And you could turn to chapter 9. We'll look at verses 23 and 24. We'll stand here in a moment to do that. But we started a sermon series beginning last week. And I apologize, we're still trying to get our feet wet here, so I don't remember everything and know everybody's name, of course. That's going to take a little while to do. And I put something out on Sunday nights. We're going to be looking at the Beatitudes, but I told everybody we start at 6:30 instead of 6 o'clock. So you'll have to forgive me on that. I will change that as soon as I get home today. So we're going to be doing things a little bit different, still trying to figure it out. And thank you for making my wife, myself, Marshall feel right at home. We really do appreciate that. The sermon series is Do You Believe God? And it comes from basically this. It's really easy for us to say that we believe in God, but do we actually believe God? There's two separate things there. So, I mean, it's easy to believe in Him, but it is difficult to believe Him because that really puts our faith to the test. And that's what this series is really going to be about. So we're going to hit some hard topics, things that you and I need to be working on. And I want to tell you this, if it steps on your toes, remember mine are already hurting because I've already studied this several different times. But this is why people today are struggling, especially Christian people. It's the same reason that churches right now across the world are struggling. It's because we seem to be so self-absorbed, especially in this culture. This culture teaches us to look at ourselves over and over again. Last week, I brought a mirror in here, and I was looking at myself in the mirror, and we sort of talked about how Satan uses that. It's the same thing back in the Garden of Eden. Satan didn't say, look at me, worship me. He said, I want you to look at yourself. Because if you look at yourself and you start to do that, then everything else, your eyes are off of God. And if your eyes are off of God, everything in your life will be messed up and you'll never be able to do what God wants you to do. And how many of you can agree with me that the world is very self-absorbed? We are. 25,000 selfies are taken in somebody's lifetime of themselves. We're constantly looking at those things. We're on Facebook, and usually when we get on Facebook or we get on any type of social media, we want to put out everything about ourselves. Some of you, I know what you had to eat this week. I know when you ate it. I know where you went, how you went. It's all about us. And then our opinions are also going to be out there because we want everybody to know that it is our opinion and it is very, very important. Why do I say that? Because we have to take our eyes off of ourselves so that we can keep our eyes on the Savior. He lights our path for us, but we can't see where we're going if we're looking backwards. Many trust God as Savior. They trust Christ as Savior, but they don't trust Him as Lord. That's the difference. So I want us to bridge the gap. Maybe some of you are already there, but most of us probably need to go from Savior to Lord and begin to treat Him that way. We started this series last week with a message called Dying to Self, and we're going to continue in that same thing today because we didn't get all the way through everything we needed to talk about. We looked at the mirror, that Satan's strategy has always been for us to look at ourselves. But God wants us to die to ourselves. Why die to ourselves? Because true love lays its life down. Can I get an amen to that? It does. True love lays its life down. We started on Memorial Day sort of talking about something like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that love, true love, never seeks after its own. It's not self-absorbed. And there's a massive movement in this world right now of what's in it for me. With that in mind, let's stand and read God's word. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 is where we will be. Then he said to them, I love this, where Christ comes out and says, if anyone desires to come after me, so if anybody wants to follow me, if anybody wants to be a Christian, in other words, here's the ticket, let him deny himself, that's dying to self, and take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life or dies to himself for my sake will save it. You may be seated. You want to follow Jesus? Then your life's over. That's pretty much what he's saying. If you want to follow Jesus, your life is over. God sees death as an accomplishment. Not the physical death that we talk about, but our spiritual death. That's very important for us to understand that we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. God sees that as a major accomplishment. We'll see that today. And let me tell you this, this is very, very important. This is the only life where you have the option to deny yourself. This is the only life, the only opportunity that you have for that. And how can we give God all the glory in this life? It is for us to actually die to ourselves. Dead people are impossible to hurt. Dead people are impossible to reject. They are dead. And this is extremely important to Christ. You know, most of the time when you talk to someone about how come you haven't talked to anybody about Christ, how come you haven't tried to lead anybody to Christ, it's always the same answer. They feel rejection to themselves. Well, the problem actually is that they're looking at themselves. How many of you know that if you talk to somebody about Jesus, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. But they get judged off of the dirt, off of your shoes. So when you go with a heart and you want to tell them about Christ, you're doing that because you're dead to yourself, you want to mention Jesus to them, then they will be judged off of that. A success, whenever we go to talk to someone about Jesus, is not them coming to Christ. I know that seems like the success. The success is actually the obedience of actually talking to somebody about Jesus. Now, why would that be the ultimate success? Because you can't save anybody. And I can't save anybody. It is the Holy Spirit's job to do that. Can I get an amen to that? My wife told me I need to ease up on the can I get an amen things. I'm so used to saying that. So I got a plaque in my office where somebody actually put that on a plaque. Can I get an amen? I'm trying to get over that. You help me with agreement every once in a while and I won't ask for it. How about that? So how important is this dying to self? Luke chapter 14, verses 27 says this, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, let me say that again. Luke 14, 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. How high is the standard? It's extremely high. Jesus sets it clear up here. There's no loophole in the standard. You have to actually bear your cross. We have to believe what God actually says and not just believe in him. The word believe means a life adhered to. That's what the word believe means. It's a life adhered to. That means there's something to back up our life. You'll know a Christian by their fruits. There's something there. You'll know that they are a Christian because there's something there. There's proof that they've been dying to themselves so that they can have this proof from God. How many of you know that a seed cannot produce any type of fruit, a tree, a plant, anything, unless it dies first? It has to be placed into the ground. It has to be dead before the sun can actually nurture it and it can come up. This is why this is so important to Christ. So if you really want to follow me, if you really want to be my disciples, if you really want this, you have to die to yourself. I need an empty vessel so that I can work in that empty vessel. That's what Jesus is really saying. There's a huge difference between believing in God and believing God. Fear is a big part of us sometimes taking our eyes off of the Lord. We saw this in COVID. COVID brought a lot out, but it said a lot about the church during COVID at the same time. And I'm sure that you talked about fear as far as it went through COVID, and people are taking faith over fear, and they're saying those things like that. Well, that's actually true, because fear focuses on who? It focuses on me. It focuses in on self. But Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. You don't need to be fearful at all. How many of you know that if God is in it and he's with you, you don't have to fear anybody or anything? Right there's where I was going to say, can I get an amen? But I held up on that for my wife. There you go. Listen, dead people stand out in heaven. Dead people are the ones that are going to receive those rewards in heaven. God delights in dead people. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. You're right. It doesn't make any sense to you, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. But he's saying, in order for me to be able to use you, and I'm going to tell you something, the funnest thing in Christian ministry, the funnest thing about being a Christian is when you know God has been using you to do something. When you know that God's in the middle of it and you've heard his voice, when you know that God is doing these things in your life, that's the best part, to know that you are connected to the Lord. But fear will cancel all those things out. Dead people will stand out in heaven. They'll stand out in heaven. Jesus needs and uses dead vessels. Now we're going to get into the meat of stuff, and this is going to be very, very intense. And I want you to understand what we're talking about here. Not directed towards any specific person. It is God who is bringing this. This is going to be some good stuff, so you need to write it down if you write anything down. Jesus was born on this earth. God sent him because of love. When he sent him, we know he was raised as a baby. We know he moved around a little bit at the beginning, trying to keep away, listening to what the angels said, staying away from being murdered, all those other things. He spent 30 years growing up. We don't hear too much about Christ at all in the scripture, except for when he was 12 years old. We hear a little bit about him there when he's in the temple and he's actually talking. But then he has ministry, and his ministry begins, and it goes for 3 years. In that 3-year period of time, God the Father only spoke audibly over Jesus' life from heaven 3 times. Only 3 times in all of the scripture did God the Father pull back and open up the clouds and speak clearly so everybody could hear it, but he's speaking about Jesus. Only 3 times he's done that. All 3 times he spoke was in the context of death. Write that down. All 3 times that God the Father was so excited that he got up off of the throne and opened up the clouds and spoke over Jesus audibly so everyone can hear was in the context of death. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. He did not speak at his birth. He did not speak at his ascension. He did not speak while he was on the cross. He did not. Only 3 times, and all 3 times, it was always in the context of death. This is when he spoke. True love is to die for someone else. True love is not attainable without dying to self. And God knows that, and he noticed that. Why did he send Jesus to the earth? To die. Not to live, but to die. And to die for who? For you. And he's died for me. That's a love that we cannot understand. But I want us, and you can get your Bibles and get them ready. We're going to start in the book of Mark, and we're going to go through because I want you to see these scriptures, and you can make your notations. Mark chapter 1 is where we're going to be first. We're going to look at all three times that God spoke audibly because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see what the Bible says. Each time he speaks, though, I want you to get this, it goes deeper. So the more dead that a person is to himself, the more reward that you get, and then ultimately that God gets at the end. We're going to see that. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 say this. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, now this is right at the baptism, immediately the scripture says, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting. This is God opening up the heavens. He's parting the heavens right here. He's standing up and he's moving the heavens apart. And the Spirit descending on him like a dove, verse 11, then, this is after the baptism, then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Baptism is so important to Jesus because baptism symbolizes death. This is exactly what it does. And what pleases God? A life laid down. That's exactly what pleases God. I hope that if you know Christ as your personal Savior, that you've made that step somewhere in your life to be baptized. A lot of people get baptized when they're children and they don't understand everything that baptism really means. That you are who you are standing in the baptismal, and then when you go into the grave, you're identifying with Christ. You're doing what he did right here. His death, his burial, his resurrection. So you're being buried to your old self, and then the new person is actually coming up. That's the resurrection part. When you're resurrected from the dead, you don't go back and be dead anymore, except to yourself. You don't want to go back and pull that other person back out anymore. That's exactly what it is here. Death to self is to come alive to God. Can I get an understanding? That's different. That's different. Man, it's hard not to say that. I've been saying it for 16 years. I'm trying to hold back on it just a little bit. When we align ourselves with death, which is exactly what baptism is, we align ourselves with death, with Christ. We align ourselves with the sonship that is Jesus' sonship and the pleasing of God himself. Let me say that again. When we align ourselves with dying to self, when we do that, when we die to self, when this happens, we align ourselves with sonship, with Christ. We identify with Christ. So we have that sonship with the Father. So we can call him Father. I mean, Jesus said this is how you're supposed to talk to him, like he's your father. Well, for him to be your father, you got to be his son or his daughter. Can I get a... There you go. I don't have to say it all. Secondly, turn to Luke chapter 9. Just over a little bit. This one we're going to read just a little bit longer because there's so much stuff which is in here. The heading in my Bible says this is the cost of discipleship, and then we're going to get into the transfiguration as we read here. But Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. Now it's going to step up, okay? So we have that. We have the alignment with the Father in sonship. So we align with him whenever we begin to die to self. Now it's going to get a little bit more intense. Then he, Christ, said to them, beginning in verse 23, we're going to go from 23 all the way to 35. Then he, Christ, said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, this is us. He's talking about us. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There he is again. Deny yourself, take up your cross. How often? Daily. We have to die to ourselves every day. It has to be on our mind to do that. Verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. That means if you're not denying yourself, you're going to lose your life. You don't know Christ is exactly what this is. But whoever loses his life for my sake, you don't die to yourself because of you. I mean, he's even pointing on that. You don't die to yourself because of yourself. You die to yourself because of him. Why? You're aligned with him. That's why. So for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? You ever get bugged by people who seem to have it better than you? You ever? Well, let's just be honest. You're like, come on. They live a sinful life. They have nothing to do with the Lord. I go to church. I have all these ailments. I have all these problems. This person over here is having no issue, no problem, no nothing. Do you know why you feel that way? Because you're looking at yourself. But it says here in this scripture right here that they're going to lose their life. That's not something for us to cheer about. If we were actually dying to ourselves, then it would make us want to talk to them about Jesus so that they can have life with us, with him. Amen? There you go. I can't get past it all. I didn't say, can you give me an amen, though? Verse 26, this is very important. For whoever is ashamed of me, now get this. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes to his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. Verse 26 right here, God raises the bar even higher. If you can't die to yourself and you can't live for him, who are you ashamed of? That's what he's trying to say. You can say, Pastor, but that's not how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. Feelings are the weakest part of who you actually are. I hope you get that. Adrian Rogers used to say it's the weakest person. The weakest person is the one who always concentrates on their feelings. Feelings don't have anything to do with facts. How about that? That's a better way to put it. Then in verse 27, it says, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. What sayings? Dying to self. He's talking about picking up your cross and dying to yourself. So 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And he prayed. The appearance of his face was altered. His robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. Boy, can you imagine being Peter right now? I mean, he just has to be freaking out. Not only is Jesus here, now I got Moses and Elijah and all these people around. And it says, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease. Here's what they came. Moses and Elijah came up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were speaking to Jesus about his death. That's about to come up. That's what they're talking about. Which he was about to accomplish is the word at Jerusalem. That's some powerful stuff. Because in verse 31, heaven sees dying to you as an accomplishment. I mean, that's huge to God when you do something like that. Read on, verse 32. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. They were standing with Jesus. Then it happened as they were parting with him that Peter said to James, Master, is it good for us to be here and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah? Yeah, Peter's just trying to be nice, not knowing what he said while he was saying this. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Verse 35 is major. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son." What's it say? Hear him. Hear him. I mean, why does God take notice and speak here? Why does God come again out of a cloud and speak? He stands up. He gets excited in heaven. He's seeing everything that's happening. He sends Moses and Elijah. They're all down there. The reason he gets all excited, because the meeting that they were having is about Jesus' death. And the Lord gets excited over death. I mean, it's all about that. I mean, yes, Christ struggled sometimes with the thought of it. You would too. But that was in his humanity. And we'll see his humanity in the next part of the scripture. But the truth of the matter is, he gave up himself and he passed all the tests that God would ever throw at him about dying to himself. We're talking about God speaking to God here. And God is giving himself up. That's amazing. It's really very difficult for us to comprehend, but this is how much he cares about us. I mean, it's as if God can't even contain himself. He gets so excited. And after these sayings, he says this. He says, hear him. In other words, listen to what he has to say. Sometimes you and I are not dead enough to be heard. We're not. We're not dead enough to actually be heard. God splits the sky and he speaks over his children when they die to self. The deeper you get to doing that, the further you go, the longer each day that you die to yourself, it's going to be something that God will put a stamp on. Some of us would call that an anointing, if you will. He'll do that. Sometimes there's too much you in the way. Can I get an? There you go. But do you see where we're going? First, you align yourself with Christ. That's the part of the baptism part. That comes, guys, right after you are saved. I mean, that is the very first act of obedience. Obedience is that faith where you put into action and you say, okay, I do believe you. It's not that I just believe in you. I do believe you, so I do want to be baptized, because if I am baptized, it shows everybody out there that I align myself with you. I align myself with God in sonship. I identify with you. I'm not ashamed of you. That's what baptism really does. It makes it public, and it makes it to where the person says they're not ashamed to be a Christian. That's an amazing thing. Then, as you begin to die to self a little bit more and things go in your life, you begin in your studies and you begin to learn that and you start to do that. Now God's like, listen to them. We looked last week. I mean, some people are called to be teachers right now. They're not teaching because they're still babes in Christ. They're still sucking off of a milk bottle and they've been doing it forever. There are babies in Christ who are 14 years old. There are babies in Christ who are 84 years old. Does it make a difference on your age? But if you stay a baby all the time, you're never going to ever be able to taste the meat of the word. You'll never get it. Dying to self is a great ground way for us to start by saying, look, my life doesn't belong to me anymore. I understand my life doesn't belong to me anymore. I give it to you. Last service that I did at a previous church was the dedication of a baby. And the dedication of a baby is simply the parents coming up and they present the baby. What they're doing is they're saying, we understand that this baby is a gift from God. We want to give it back to God. It's a symbolic thing like that. And then the church will stand and the church will agree to help grow it up in the Lord. That's what we're all supposed to do, is not just get saved. We don't want to lose anybody at the altar. Can I get an amen on that? We don't want to lose them at the altar. Our job is to disciple and to teach. That's what we do. And when we do these things, we begin to die to ourselves. When you come out of your comfort zone, that's when you die to yourself. You think about it. When you're in your comfort zone, everything's comfortable. I mean, it only makes sense. You see things, touch things, taste things. You know exactly what's going on. Everything's good. My wife and I got out of our comfort zone in a crazy way the last 3 days because my grandson came and stayed with us. way out of our comfort zone. He was nuts, and we were trying to control nuts. And then you have to parent the way the parents parent, and then I'm telling you what, I love the boy, but the happiest day of my life right now will be when he goes home today. Which, by the way, is a blessing of a grandparent. You can send them home. Yeah, you all get it. You feel for me now, don't you? You do. Now turn over to John, next book in Scripture. John chapter 12. We're going to end with John chapter 12. Like I said, he keeps on increasing everything. John chapter 12, we'll look at verses 23 through 28. This is the third time that God will speak audibly over his son. It's even more intense now. So the bar keeps going up here. This is Jesus right here towards the end of his life. He's right there towards the end now where this actually happens. And I want you to see this. Verse 23, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be, what's the word? Glorified. Hold on to that. Hold on to that word. Most assuredly. You ever feel like Jesus has to keep saying, look, I'm being serious here. He says, this is the truth. Most assuredly. I mean, he keeps verily, verily. He keeps saying all this stuff. He's like, pay attention is what he's trying to say. So here he says, most assuredly, pay attention. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and does what? Dies. It remains alone. Now, there's a lot being said right there. There's a sermon just in that right there. And dies, it remains alone. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, hell is you being alone. You don't have any option with him anymore. That's what he's pretty much talking about there. It remains alone. It does absolutely nothing. Okay? So let me back up. We'll read it again. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Oh, that's that fruit part right there. Verse 25, very important. He who loves his life will lose it. We've seen that. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is important there. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. If you are close to Christ, if you are following him, if you are with him, if you are dying to self and going down this road of death for him, then the Father's going to honor you. You're not only going to be heard, you're going to be honored. Verse 27 and verse 28 are key. Jesus says this. This is coming from his humanity, but understand it's a question. You'll see the question marks in there. Now, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Well, that's not Jesus freaking out. He's saying, what should I actually say right here? It's a question. Did God answer him yet? No. And Jesus says this, but. I love that word. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Here's the most important word in all of it. Then, soon as Christ says, Father, nevertheless, basically my will but yours, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it. Somebody say amen before I do it myself. There you go. Stage one to dying to self, you align with God. That's that sonship part right there. Stage two, he says, hear him or hear her. That's what God says. I mean, he's like, listen to them. They know what they're talking about. They've been dead long enough to understand what I'm trying to say to them. Stage number three, God gets the glory through the complete dead vessel. That's where it happens at. When God gets the glory, that's something you give him. You can't give God anything in this lifetime except His glory. You can give Him your life. That's outstanding. He loves that. That's a trophy. We talked about that. You are a trophy to God because of your salvation. You're on His trophy wall. That's excellent. On top of that, He gives you an inheritance. You get the mind of Christ. You get everything that Jesus gets in heaven, all this stuff that He promises you. You get a life eternal with Him. But the only thing you can do for Him is to give Him His glory. Ananias and Sapphira had a problem with that. They wanted a little bit of the glory for themselves, and then they wanted to give God the rest of the glory, and how'd that end up for them? Didn't end up very good. He killed them. It just doesn't work that way. The only chance you get to die to yourself is in this life, the one that we live. I mean, the simplicity of this life is this. It's very difficult to be a Christian. I'm not going to tell you that it's not. Of course it is. Because you have a person who is rotten, who gets saved and changed from the inside out. God wants to transform you into His Son. That's simple. We all get that. That all sounds good. But doing something and saying something are two different things. I believe in God says it. Doing it is, I believe God. Because love is an action verb. And the only way to show love is to show action. That's the fruit that He talks about. So when you go and you do it, that's when you're proving to God you're being obedient. All of that is real good stuff. But this is the only chance you get to die to self. You'll never be able to do it outside of this life. He gets the glory through dead vessels and from dead vessels. And I hope every person in here is a dead vessel for Him. Isaiah 53 says this, "It pleased Him, God, it pleased God to crush His Son, Jesus." You're going, wow. Some of you didn't know that was in the scripture. It was. It pleased God to crush His Son. We're never going to understand that until we get there. You're never going to understand that kind of, you're not capable of that type of love. I've heard people say this in closing. I've heard people say, my husband has been rotten. He's been rotten for the last couple months, but that's just my cross to bear. You ever hear anybody say anything kind of like that? Not about their husband, maybe, or other things. That's just, my work is terrible. That's just my cross to bear. That's not what Jesus talks about when He talks about the cross. When He says for you to pick up your cross, people back in Jesus' day knew exactly what that meant. That means you're going to die. So when He says you pick up your cross every day, He's saying expect to die. And you need to do that how often in the scriptures that say daily. Because look, you can't just go on. You have to keep Christ in your mind all the time. You don't dress for battle. Ephesians chapter 6, you don't dress for battle in the evening. You dress for battle first thing in the morning. That's your quiet time. That's when you spend it with God. You're ready. I'm going to die to self. I have prayed over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in the last few weeks. Lord, help me die to myself more. I was praying it today when I kept finding myself trying to come back out again. But if we ask Him these things and it aligns with Him, which it does, He will be faithful and just to answer that prayer because it's a prayer He wants to hear. So when Christ says, pick up your cross, it meant death. Resurrection, and we all want to be resurrected one day, only comes through death. It only comes through death. You can't have resurrection without death. So here's the question. How dead are you? How dead are you? Some of you don't even know Christ. You live your life, and maybe it's a good life. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you don't know Christ. The simplicity I was telling you about is simply this. You're put on the earth to make a decision, one decision. Either you follow Jesus or you don't follow him. That's a nice way to say it, but let's be real. You either follow Jesus or you follow the devil. It's one or the other. There is no in between. There is no riding the fence, as they would say. Can't put one foot in the world and one foot out of the world. You either follow him or not. That's what Jesus is talking about. And to follow him, you have to be dead to self. If you don't know Christ, you need to die today. When you ask him in, he kills the old person. That's what he does. He comes in and he takes the sinful person, all the sin, all the rottenness that is inside your life, and he wipes it out. That's what death truly is. And then he says, I want you to live like that on a constant basis, understanding that I just killed Ken. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to me. And if you belong to me, you need to live the way that I tell you to live, because I'm the only one that's going to give you the truth to make your life count. Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask on that. Let's stand. Let's stand. I'm working on it. Where are you? I want to speak just for a moment for the person that does not know Christ. Today is your day to do that. It's not me who says it. The good thing about bringing a message is it's not the person bringing the message. It's God through the person bringing the message. The scripture says that today is the day of salvation. Why? You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised your next breath. You're not. You have to make that decision. You know what? I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm tired of trying to do it every way somebody tells me to do. I want to go ahead today, and I want to lay my life down and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you've never done that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer here in just a minute. And to the rest of us, let me say this. If you've been a Christian, I don't care how many years, whether it's been a week or whether it's been 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years, it makes absolutely no difference. How dead are you to Christ today? The more dead you are, the closer you are. The more dead you are, the more he fills up. He can only use a dead vessel. We say it's a house. I mean, that's what we have. This is his home. I want to make sure I take care of the temple. Yeah, but there's some dirty rooms inside of there. And he wants those cleaned out. And if you can clean them out by dying to yourself and all that, then he can move in every single room of the house. Because the sad thing is, you gravitate to the rooms which are dirty. And sometimes you try to clean them yourself when he's the only one who can do it. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. If you don't know Christ today, but you want him in your life, listen to me carefully. I'm going to lead you in a prayer here in just a second. The prayer does not save you. You have to believe God. You may believe in him, but you have to believe God. That's called faith. That means you have to come out of your comfort zone and you have to go to another place. It's a supernatural place. I wouldn't want a God that I could sit here and would be a natural person. I want one who's supernatural, who can do things that are just amazing. You have to believe in him. You do not have to understand it, because the Bible, quite frankly, says you don't. Until you accept him, then you begin to understand. If you want him, you pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Lord, I ask that you come into my life today and remove all of my sin. You promised to do that. I don't understand that. You choose never to remember my sin against me ever again. All of my past sin, all my present, all my future, you're wiping it out. That's amazing to me. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you were raised 3 days later. Even though I don't understand it, somehow I believe it. I turn from my sin today and I die to myself and I give you me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.